Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Speaking of marriages, can I tell a joke tonight? I know we're getting in the message a little slower tonight. Yes? I can tell a joke? So I was reading, about marriage and weddings and anniversaries and stuff on the internet and just getting different ideas for how I could bless Pastor Dara. And I came across this joke, and it was pretty funny. The reason it caught my eye is because it was talking about an Italian couple, which I'm Pastor Dara and I are Italian. The story went that there was an old man who was kind of on his deathbed, and he was an Italian. And he was kind of getting right to the end of his life, right, you know, in the bed. He was in hospice care, which means that he was basically just at home instead of being in a hospital. He was really old, and so he was getting up to the end of his life. And as he was starting to draw his last breaths, all of a sudden, he smelled his favorite Italian cookies. And he's like, wow, is this heaven like seeping through into the now? Like, am I about to meet Jesus? Like, what's happening? And so he musters up all of his strength and gets out of bed and starts walking across the bedroom and gets to the kitchen and sees his favorite Italian cookies just lined up all across the table. And he said, man, am I in heaven? Like, have I already crossed over? Like, he's looking around for Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And right as he's going to reach and grab one of the cookies and put it in his mouth, all of a sudden he feels a slap on his hand and he looks up to see his wife and she said, don't eat one of those, that's for the funeral. The moral of the story, cookies are awesome. But one thing that I've learned about marriage is that it's super important who you marry, right? And some of you in here are married tonight. Some of you are single. Some of you have been in relationships. And you could probably testify, I don't want a show of hands, that it's really important who you're with, right? Because if you're with the right person, it's the biggest blessing in the world. But if you're in relationship with the wrong person, it can be the exact opposite and almost be like a curse, right? And it's one of those things that I think you never fully learn it until you're like in it. You know, like you never fully know it until like you know it. And I have learned that being in relationship and being in covenant with the right person is the biggest blessing that you ever could be. And so that leads me tonight to the title of our message. The first message in our Living Dead series, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's going to be called A Funeral and a Wedding. A Funeral and a Wedding. Matter of fact, can everybody stand up while we pray? Just to give honor to the Lord, to give honor to what he's about to do and what he's about to speak. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that in these next few moments that we have together, Lord, that you would illuminate, God, these truths in our hearts. God, have your word jump off the pages of your holy book, God, that you would drown us, God, in an overwhelming flood of your love, your grace, and your truth. I pray that whatever we have need of tonight, God, that you would fill us in and fill us up. God, we want Jesus tonight, Father. We are asking for Jesus in our midst tonight. Holy Spirit, think through my mind and speak through my lips, whatever it is that you want to say tonight, and help Manny Pacquiao's shoulder to heal very quick so that he can rematch Floyd Mayweather and knock him out in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, how many of you, with a show of hands, you know somebody that's been divorced? Maybe a friend, maybe a family member, or maybe if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you know somebody that might be better off if they were divorced from the person they were with, right? And I'm not, hold on before you start like booing. I'm not saying like, you know, just because, it's like a bad fit or maybe she's just not nice enough. I'm talking about like, it's not a good situation for these two to be married, right? It's like an abusive type of thing. Like it would be better for them to separate, right? Well, I think our generation, probably better than most generations before us, have seen the destruction that divorce can cause, right? They can see the destruction that the wrong marriage can cause. And so we know better than anybody. And I think that's one of the reasons why our generation is waiting longer to get married, because they're going, I got to make sure I find the right person, right? Which I think is a good thing. I don't think that's a negative thing. I think it's good for you to want to focus on the right partner for your life and to enter into the right covenant and the right relationship. But we're not going to be talking about marriage in that way tonight. So in case you were thinking that this was about to be a dating message or a marriage message, we're going to take it a little bit different turn. Is everybody okay with that? Everybody's good with that. So what I want to do is I want to see what God has to say about marriage and divorce. And we're going to focus on a couple different verses that maybe you're not used to viewing in that way. So if you have your Bibles with me, would you turn with me to Romans 7? And we'll be starting in verse 1. Romans 7 and verse 1. And if you need a Bible, there are ones on each end of the row. If you have it on your phone, I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible translation, the Living Bible. Romans 7 and verse 1. It says, "Don't you understand yet, dear Jewish brothers in Christ, that when a person dies, the law no longer holds him in its power? Let me illustrate. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, she is no longer bound to him. The laws of marriage no longer apply to her. Then she can marry someone else if she wants to. That would be wrong while he was alive, but it's perfectly all right after he dies." So what is this saying, right? It's basically saying, legally, what's best before another wedding can take place, a funeral has to happen, right? Somebody has to die. And in order for you to enter into a new contract, a new marriage, a new covenant, you have to have a death happen from the previous covenant, from the previous relationship, from the previous marriage, right? And I mentioned something earlier. I didn't mention it earlier. You know, every single one of us are born married to something. Does everybody know that? And some of you are going, "Well, hold on a second. I was just a baby. I was just, you know, 7 pounds, 4 ounces. How could I have been married?" Right? We were all born to someone. I'm sorry. We were all married to someone when we were born, or rather, more than someone, something. And I see some of your faces going like, "What? Hold on. What is he talking about?" And you're like trying to like search back through like past sermons and stuff like that. So this is what we'll do. We'll read it. So if you'll turn with me to Romans 5. So just a couple pages back from where you were, Romans chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Romans 5, verse 12 says, When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin, whose sin? Adam's sin spread death throughout all the world. So everything began to grow old and die, for all sinned. We know that it is Adam's sin that caused this. You know, I always wonder, like, is Adam and Eve going to be in, like, witness protection program in heaven? Like, because I don't know about you, but, man, there are days, like, when stuff happens and, you know, like, I wake up after working out and I'm sore and I'm like, "Man, this stinks. Like, thanks, Adam. Like, if it wouldn't have been for you, like, I could work out, like, all day and I'd never get sore," or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But you see, the thing about that verse is that you were actually born into a covenant. You were born into a covenant with sin. You were born into a relationship with sin, whether you chose it or not, you were born a sinner, right? But how many of you know that Jesus came to bring us out of that place, right? So you remember earlier we were talking about how important it was about who you marry, right? So since we know that we didn't really have a choice about who we married in this context, that means that it's even more important who our second marriage is, right? And where we go from here. Because how many of you know that we don't want to be connected to sin in that way, right? So I was asking the Lord, I was going like, "Lord, like, where did this start? You know, like, where did this relationship, like, where did this marriage start from? And where did it start going bad?" And he took me back to kind of the epicenter of all of this, which obviously we know is in Genesis. It's the story of Adam and Eve. You know, everything before Adam and Eve sinned was perfect, right? Everybody know that. The Garden of Eden was just perfection. It was heaven on earth. You know, whenever they would pluck a fruit and eat it, immediately, bam, another one would grow, right? So, like, you could just even, I could imagine just, like, trying to pick as many, as fast as you could, and they just keep popping up a new one, right? You could take a seed in the Garden of Eden, and because the conditions were perfect, you could take a seed and throw it in the ground and immediately, bam, the whole plant would sprout up. It wouldn't take weeks and weeks and months and years to produce fruit. It would just happen immediately, right? But God said no more. Because of what happened with Adam and Eve, God said no more. So that previous relationship that Adam and Eve had with everything around them had to change. God said thorns would grow up from the ground, right? Which is why Jesus wore a crown of thorns and gave us victory over that curse, right? That's why God said that from the sweat of your brow that you would work the ground, that you would have bread to eat and all those kind of things. And what I love is that some translations, they say the stress of your brow. And, you know, science is proving more and more that stress is the number one cause of disease. Stress is the number one cause of any kind of communicable disease. It's the number one kind of any kind of cancer or anything like that. And so, you know, I started asking the Lord, like, okay, Lord, so do we need to be, like, staying away from stress? Like, is that the thing that we need to be, you know, like, pounding our fists on the table and saying, like, God, I'm not going to stress today. I'm not going to stress today. And he said, yeah, you know, that's part of it. But keep peeling back layers. Keep going back. Because how many of you know, whenever you ask the Lord about something, he's not just going to talk to the fruit of it, right? He's going to talk to the root of it. Because God doesn't necessarily just care about the external things. He cares about the heart of it, right? That's what God's focusing on. He talks all the time about, you know, he's looking to and fro, trying to find somebody's heart who has turned towards him, right? So God's all about the heart. He's all about the very crux of the matter. And so God kept pulling it back, and he said, look a little bit closer. And I said, okay. So I kept reading, and I want you to turn with me to Genesis 3. We're going to be going through a few different verses tonight, and we'll get through them quickly. So Genesis 3, the very beginning of the Bible, and we'll start in verse 10. Whenever you're there, say, yeah. Yeah. I'll give y'all just a minute longer so that we can have more people do that, because that was kind of cool. All right, now if you're there in Genesis 3:10, say, yeah! Yeah! That's a little better. So this is Adam responding to God, because God said, you know, where are you? You know, why are you hiding? That kind of thing. So in Genesis 3:10, Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And so you look at that verse, and you see Adam says, I was afraid. And so many of you are probably going, oh, I see where you're going, Pastor Donnie. Fear, that's it. Fear is what causes stress, so that's what we got to focus, and we got to root out fear. You're good, but we're going to peel it back another layer, right? You're close. Read on in verse 11. It says, and he said, this is God speaking to Adam, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And I look at that and I go, wow, that's really interesting. Like, God asked him, who told you? Like, who said something to you? How did you know that you were naked? Somebody must have told you. And you know, if God ever says who told you, it's not just a rhetorical question, right? God didn't ask Adam that to like try and trick him. Like, he knew that literally something had spoken to Adam and said, you're naked, which caused him to then be afraid and caused him to hide, right? And so I said, okay, God, so what's, who spoke to him? Because the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say, you know, Satan told him. It doesn't say, you know, the serpent, you know, said, hey, Adam, Eve, you're naked. It wasn't anything like that. So I started digging a little bit deeper, and I started asking the Lord, and he said, what did Adam and Eve eat from? I said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, okay, what did Adam and Eve eat from? And I'm like, the tree of knowledge and evil? Like, you know, maybe I didn't speak up enough, Lord. And so, you know, he said it again. You know, so what did Adam and Eve eat from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, that's the law. He said, that's the law. And so what he was saying was there that whenever you focus on the law, he said, you begin to hear voices. He said, you begin to hear what kind of voices? Condemnation. So that's it. So can we put that illustration up on the board? And can we start with that blank one? So you see, what we have here is a plant that has leaves, right? And if we can go to that next one, you see, all of the dead, all of the disease, those are all the destructive habits that are happening in your life. And although many of you are on a great path, you know, some of you are still figuring out how to do this thing. And so that's what tonight's all about. So like I said earlier, we're not just going to focus on the external. We're not just going to focus on the things that your friends see and that you see when you look in the mirror and, you know, things that you want to hide from people at church because you don't want them to see the holes in your leaves, right? So keep going. So the destructive habits, right? The financial lack that you might be having in your life, the things that you're going, man, I really need God to come through in this way. Keep going. The sickness, right? What do those things come from? Just like we talked earlier, stress, right? The stress of your brow. And then next is fear. But the ultimate thing ultimately comes from condemnation. And so that's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to see from this, is that whenever Adam heard, hey, you're naked, right? What did he hear? He heard condemnation. And that's what happens whenever we focus on the law, whenever we trust the law to make us right, is we're always going to have it speaking to us and telling us where we messed up. The law is always going to speak to us and tell us where we missed it, how we're naked in this area, how we're broken in this area, how, you know, we're dirty in this area. But guess what? Does that sound like God? Does that sound like the God that we just worshiped earlier today? Does that sound like the same God that we were raising our voices to, right? So condemnation is always going to say, you're naked. It's always going to say, and look at what happened, right? Look at what condemnation caused Adam to do. He hid from God. The very person that in the midst of something going wrong should be the one that he was running to, right? Because the Bible says that God is Abba Father. He's the perfect Father. He's the one that we should want to run to, right? Not from. Right. Why would we ever want to hide from a perfect Father that just wants you to run to him and tell him what's going on so that he can make it all better, right? Condemnation said, you know, you're not good enough. You know, how could you ever be used of God? How could you ever be in a position to impact people for the kingdom? Don't you know what you just did? Don't you know where you come from? Don't you know who your parents are? And don't you know where you went to school or maybe lack thereof or all those kind of things, right, that the enemy tries to condemn us with? But there's a better way. There's a better way, right? I found this interesting. Did you know that Satan in the original Hebrew is actually Ha Satan? And what that means is a prosecutor at law. I'm going to say that again. Satan means a prosecutor at law. Think about that for a second, right? What does a prosecutor do in a courtroom? He accuses, right? He brings up all the bad things, right? They try and assassinate your character. They try and pick apart everything that you've ever done wrong and dig into your past and try and find all the nooks and crannies that nobody finds that knows about. Why? So that they can expose them, so they can have you feel condemned, so that what? They can put you out, right? So they can put you in jail and keep you bound up, right? But what does God do? God is like our defense attorney, right? He wants to say, no, none of that's true. I want you to look at the good, right? I want you to see the best in Mickey. I want you to see the best in Brandon. I want you to see the best in Stephen. All that other stuff, whatever. I get it. I'm not dismissing it, but I want to focus on who you truly are, right? That's who God is. He's the exact antithesis of the enemy. And so many of you might be going, okay, Pastor Donnie, I get it. I see where you're going. So how do we overcome this marriage that we were born into with sin and with the law and with condemnation, right? And with these voices, right, that we've all had, even Pastor Donnie. You know, whenever, you know, if I've ever messed up and, you know, told Pastor Dara, you know, hey, I'm going to do this and, you know, maybe I'm going to be here at this time. And, you know, if I've messed up and forgot, man, we all have the opportunity to hear those voices, right? Oh, how could you do that? You know, she's such a great wife. How could you do that, right? All those things. So how do we overcome that? Just like everything else that we overcome, it's how? Through the Word, right? Through the Word. The Bible says that we overcome how? Through the blood of the Lamb and what? The Word of our testimony, right? Who does the Bible say that the Word is? Because the Word isn't just ink on paper, right? The Word is flesh and is life. His name is Jesus, right? So now we're going to start diving in to the most important part of the message tonight. So if you're still on Romans, turn a couple pages back to Romans 7. Everybody with me tonight? Is this making sense? I'm telling you, we're going somewhere. And if you can grasp this, and if you can tuck this down deep inside and have the Lord write on the tablet of your heart, I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. You'll never have to deal with the same issues. You'll never struggle with the same sins. You'll never walk around wondering, does God love me today because I did this yesterday? You can walk boldly and you can approach boldly the throne of grace and of mercy and obtain what you need, right? Because here's the thing. Why would we ever approach the throne of grace unless we had a need, right? The Bible says to approach it in your time of need. So we have to understand that we have need of what is available at the throne of grace, right? So Romans 7:4 says this, your husband, your master, used to be the Jewish law. Used to be is past tense, right? But you died, that means past tense, as it were, with Christ on the cross. And since you are dead, you are no longer married to the law, and it has no more control over you. Then you came back to life again, praise God, when Christ did and are a new person. So we came back to life when Christ did, right? And now the Bible says that we're a new person. And so now we are married, so to speak, to the one who rose from the dead so that you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God. So there's a couple of things here that I want to focus on. It says that whenever Jesus died, right, that our marriage to the old covenant, right, the law to sin and death, died. It's over with. It was declared null and void. But now, when Jesus rose from the dead, now we're married to him. And he's the one that gives us life. And watch this. It says, now we're able to produce good fruit. So what does that mean? That means before Jesus, we weren't able to produce good fruit. Yeah, but Pastor Donnie, you know, if I'm, you know, I haven't been murdering and I haven't been stealing and, you know, on down the list, I haven't done those and I've been reading my Bible. Hey, that's awesome. And that all those things are great and you should do those. But guess what? It says very clearly that if you're doing it by the work of the flesh, if you're doing it trying to keep the law in and of your own self, it's not good fruit. God isn't seeing it as good fruit. But it's just a simple little twist, right? Brother Dan always says it's a small adjustment for a quantum leap. All we have to do is just realize that as we were raised to life with Christ, right, now we can come to life and bear good fruit, right? Everybody with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
And so if you've accepted Jesus, and watch this, when he died, your flesh died with him. And all the flesh means is just your natural being, right? Your desires, what you want, what you think about, all those kind of things, right? It literally died with him. The power of it died with him. Now, does that mean that, you know, days go by and you don't think about, you know, certain things that, you know, you know you shouldn't, or, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, have these, you know, thoughts where you're going, where did that come from? Of course not, right? Because we still are in the natural. We still are living on earth, but you're no longer married to that, right? It no longer has power over you. You no longer carry its last name. You no longer bear the mark of the fruit of that, right? Which was what? What's the fruit of the law? It's death, right? The Bible says that the law is the power of sin and death, right? But now, we're now married to Jesus. So whenever he has victory, we have victory, right? The Bible says that he overcame the grave. So what do we overcome? We overcame the grave. The Bible says that he took the power and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So what does that mean that we have in our possession? That means that we got those same keys. That means that whenever we need something, we don't turn to doing something right or keeping the law. What do we turn to? We turn to him. And he empowers us and he emboldens us and he gives us the spiritual gumption to be able to do whatever it is that we need to do. Amen. Is everybody with me tonight? I know this is probably a completely different direction than you think that we were going tonight. But you see, there was a funeral that took place whenever Jesus died and went down to hell. But praise God, that wasn't the end of the story. Because there was a wedding that took place whenever he came back up and met us. And now where are we? We're seated with him. Where? In heavenly places. So earlier we talked about God being a perfect father, right? Well, watch this. God is the perfect father, but Jesus is the perfect husband. I'm going to come over here and say that again. God is the perfect father, but Jesus is the perfect husband, right? And as good of a husband as I try and be, Jesus is that much better for every single one of us, right? All the ways that I try and bless my wife and love my life and my wife and lay down my life for her, ultimately, Jesus is the perfect personification of that husband, right? But guess what? Every single one of us can be married to him. Every single one of us can be his special bride because we're all part of the church. We're all part of his bride that he's coming back for, right? So, man, as I think about that and as I look around and I see all of you here and I think about the people that need to be here, I start thinking about the church and I start thinking about a lot of the messages that I hear preached and a lot of the, you know, things that I see out there. And I think a lot of times the church gets a bad rap. Everybody kind of agree with that, right? Sometimes Christians get a bad rap. And, you know, really and truly, the reason that we do is none other than we're personifying condemnation. You know, we talk about, oh, you can't come to church unless you look a certain way, unless you dress a certain way. You know, you better cover those tattoos up and, you know, you better dress right and, you know, show God, you know, how important he is to you and all those kind of things, right? We look at people and, you know, we say, oh, well, you're living with somebody before you're married. How could you do that? You better change that. And we start looking down our noses at people. And all that does is just solidify what they've already been thinking was going to happen anyways, right? But where in Scripture do we see Jesus doing that? Where in Scripture do the Pharisees bring somebody caught in sin to Jesus and he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to love you. But, you know, once you get yourself cleaned up and, you know, once it's been 6 months since you've committed adultery and, you know, you can show me where you went through, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, you're at step 12 now, you know, then I'll love you. Then I'll make you clean, right? Then I'll be your husband. I don't see that. I don't see that, right? But what does Jesus do? Because the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, right? And the world is trying to trap us too. I've had conversations with people and we've had people email the bridge and, you know, ask us where we stand on certain things and certain, you know, sins in the Bible and certain, you know, hot topics out there. And, you know, what I always do is I tell the people, you know, hey, before I even, you know, respond to what you're asking, just know that I love you. Just know that God loves you. Just know that Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what your name is, where you're from, what your sexual preference is, you know, all those kind of things. God loves you. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you put in your body yesterday. It doesn't matter. Right. Now, we absolutely will teach the Bible. Right. Because we're not going to have anybody say, you know, they're preaching heresy or anything like that. But watch this. The world wants to catch you. They want to catch you slipping up and saying the wrong thing, right? And you've all seen preachers and churches and ministries that have come under fire for different things. But as long as we're doing it like Jesus did, will always dumbfound the world. Yeah. So look at what happened whenever the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, right? They were trying to trick him. They were trying to trap him, right? And so what did they do? They threw her down in front of Jesus and they said, hey, you know the law. It says you got to stone him. It says you have to stone her, right? We caught her in adultery. And what does Jesus do? He's just drawn on the ground, right? He's just doodling, right? He's just, you know, writing and, you know, maybe drawing the bridge symbol on the ground and, you know. But look at what the first thing he says. Because see, Jesus was a genius. And because he was always led by love, right? Remember our series a couple months ago, A Love-Led Life? He was always led by love. Everything that he did, everything that he said came from a place of love. So he was always able to speak to what? The root of the issue, not the fruit. And so he looked at that woman and he said, woman, I'm sorry, let me back up. He tells the Pharisees, because he knew they were trying to catch him. He says, hey, I know what the law of Moses says. I tell you what, whoever of you is without sin, you cast the first stone, right? And he went back to drawing. So one by one, they started leaving, right? There was one person there that was qualified. There was one person that was qualified that had not sinned that could have stoned her. Right. Yet he was the one kneeling down. And I just imagine him putting his hands on that woman's face and just saying, hey, look up here. Hey, I don't condemn you. Why is that powerful? Because we have to understand before we have the power to go and sin no more, we have to understand that we're free from condemnation. Does everybody see what just happened there? Before we have the power to go and sin no more, we have to know that we're no longer tied to a system that brings condemnation. We have to understand that we're tied to a system that says, hey, I loved you before you first loved me. Hey, you think you're running and making your bed in hell and waking up really early, but guess what? I'm already there. I'll make my bed in hell so that I can be there for you. I'll wake up even earlier so that I can be there for you in your time of need, right? And that's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus that we praise. He's the perfect Father. God is the perfect Father, and Jesus is the perfect husband. Amen? And he came to break us free from the law. He came to break us free from the effects of the law, from the effects of sin, and from condemnation. So I want to look at every single one of you tonight, and I want you to hear me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you came in here tonight thinking that, man, I need to come into the Bridge tonight and get clean because I messed up, there's no condemnation in those for those who are in Christ, right? You're no longer married to the law. You're no longer bound to the effects of condemnation, of sin, and of death, right? We already read and we already learned that we're married to Jesus, right? And he's a perfect husband. And some of you might be going, yeah, but Pastor Donnie, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know, that doesn't mean that we are removed from the responsibility of keeping the law, right? We can't just go around living how we want to live and, you know, murdering people and killing people and stealing and all that kind of stuff. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But to say that, you know, we can't just live however we want, you know, we have to keep the law, what you're doing is putting yourself right back under the same set of guidelines, right? But watch what it says here. Watch what it says here. And this is amazing. I got a couple more verses for you. Romans 5:21. A couple pages back the other way. We've just been flip-flopping in Romans. If you'll turn to verse 21 in Romans, and I'll be reading from the NLT. Romans 5:21. It says, just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead. So who's ruling now? Grace. Who was ruling? Sin, right? What's the power of sin?
Death.
The law, right? Condemnation, right? So God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? And so, you know, the answer to the question of, you know, Pastor Donnie, we can't just live however we want. Absolutely. But how do you live now, right? In your right standing that God's given you, right? That results in eternal life, right? So that's how we stand. That's how we overcome. It's in our right standing with God. Everybody with me? So now watch this. This is probably the most important thing of the night. Romans 8:4. A couple more pages the other way. Romans 8:4. And if you're writing notes, this would be the prime opportunity to write this down. Romans 8:4 says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And I can see the blank stares. You're going, well, what does that have to do with what you just said? What does that have to do with, you know, keeping the law and living how we want and all that kind of stuff? Watch this. Read really slow. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. How is it fulfilled? In us. So the law is fulfilled in us. What does that mean, right? Well, we said earlier that we became married to Jesus. So in order to become married, he had to become one with you, right? Because the Bible talks about the two flesh will become one, right? And there'll be one person, right? So we became one with Jesus. So he is now living inside of us. Does everybody know that? If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible says that you are in him and he is in you. Okay? So how is the law fulfilled? It's fulfilled in us. And who is in us? Jesus is in us. So Jesus is how we fulfill the requirements of the law. So if you're taking notes, this is what I wanted to show you. The law is not fulfilled by you. It's fulfilled in you. That should free some people tonight. The law, the requirements of the law is not fulfilled by you. So if you think that you can fulfill the law and you can keep the Ten Commandments and you can, you know, work your way into a blessing and work your way into heaven and all that kind of stuff, the Bible is very clear. The requirements of the law is not met by you. It's not by what you do. It's by who's in you. It's by who you're married to, right? It's by the wedding that took place when Jesus raised himself from the dead. When the power of God infused him and raised him from the dead, right? That marriage took place. And you're no longer bound to death. You're no longer bound to sin. You're no longer bound to the effects of the law. Why? Because there was a funeral that took place. There was a funeral that took place and a wedding to Jesus. So many of you are probably going, well, Pastor Donnie, how does that apply to me, right? How do I take that and apply that? Because all this sounds awesome, right? But how do I apply that? Well, what you have to do is you can look at certain scenarios from the Bible and say, okay, I see how this person handled it. And obviously we know that that wasn't right. So how do I handle it now that I have Jesus, right? Now that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, how do I do things differently? And so, you know, I think about whenever Adam hid. And I think about what the enemy was telling him, right? And I think about what the enemy tries to tell us sometimes, right? Just like we talked earlier. You're naked. How could you ever enter into God's presence? How could you ever go to church, right? I've had many people text me and say, hey, Pastor Donnie, I'm not going to be there tonight. Sorry, I can't make it. And sometimes the Lord will quicken me and I ask him why. Well, you know, I just, you know, I'm just kind of resting and this and that. Okay, cool. Well, can you not rest and sit in service?
Right.
And then, right? Then the Lord will get on them and they'll say, well, actually, Pastor Donnie, man, I messed up, you know, the other day and I just don't really feel like I can come to church right now. Boom, that's the root, right? Condemnation has set in. And it's keeping them from the very thing that they need most. It's keeping them from community, right? It's keeping them from a group of like-minded people that are going to wrap their arms around them, tell them they love them, tell them, hey, it's all right. You got knocked off the horse. Get back on and start riding, right? Get over yourself and get back on the horse, right? So Adam heard you're naked, right? Because Adam didn't have Jesus at that time, right? So what does the Bible talk about that we have now with Jesus? It says that we are clothed, what? In his righteousness. So now whenever the enemy says, hey, no, but Donnie, you're naked, and that condemnation tries to hit you, you can say, I'm not naked. I'm clothed in his righteousness. I got a robe of many colors that my Father gave me because he loves me. I got a ring on my finger that proves how much God loves me. I am marked. I am sealed. I am the one that he loves. That's how you overcome it. And you fight the words of the enemy with the word of your Father.
Amen.
And the enemy has to go.
Yes.
The enemy has to go. You can just tell the devil, hey, I'm dead to that. Whenever that person texts you and wants you to go do that thing that you know you shouldn't keep doing since you've given your heart to the Lord. Whenever you are all alone and you have desires to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing or go somewhere you shouldn't go, all you have to do is just tell the enemy, hey, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I don't have to listen to these desires. I'm dead to that. I've got a new master. I've got a new husband. I'm part of a new covenant. I'm part of a new marriage. And that old person, I'm not going to commit adultery and go and try and raise that old man from the dead and marry myself back to him. You see, because some people try and live in both worlds. Some people try and go, okay, I gotta try and do the law and, oh man, I messed up. All right, Jesus, let me get married to you. And then we come over here and then we get clean, right? He cleanses us. We feel great. We feel holy. Oh, thank you, God. You're so good, right? We get a dose at the bridge and we go, man, God loves me. Man, God, you are so for me no matter what I did. So then we start feeling good. And then what do? We slowly start inching back over here, right? And we take this ring off and we put the ring back on of the law and we say, all right, now I'm gonna start keeping the law. All right, I've gone a couple days now. I haven't went to that certain website. I haven't talked to that certain person. I haven't drank that or smoked that or thought about that or gone to these places. So I'm feeling good now. And then all of a sudden, boom, what happens? Those voices. Hey, you're naked. Hey, you should hide from God. Those voices start coming back, right? Don't commit adultery. Don't commit adultery on the Lord. I'm not saying that in a convicting way at all. I'm not saying that in a condemning way at all. I'm saying whenever you have found that person that you were born to be married to, it doesn't even matter what anybody else looks like. It doesn't matter what you feel. Because guess what? This ring on my finger, it doesn't matter if I have messed up with Pastor Dara. It doesn't matter if, you know, she burned the, you know, lasagna. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling, which, by the way, she doesn't burn lasagna. Just FYI. She's an amazing cook. But no matter what I feel, I think back to this ring. I go, man, I'm married. I'm married. It's a constant reminder. And guess what? God has given you a constant reminder, too, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And he's always there. He's always speaking. And by the way, his words will speak louder than the voice of the enemy if you'll just tune your ears to it. If you'll stay in reading your word, right? If you'll be listening to podcasts, if you'll be watching messages online and coming to church and all those kind of things. And I don't say that in a legalistic way. I'm saying that as you do that, you're going to be drawn to it all the more. Right? Because Jesus said, if I would be lifted up, that I would draw all men unto you, all men unto me. That's not a one-time thing. That's a continual, perpetual thing. So as we read the word, as we hear the word, as we see the word in motion, and as we get hand in hand and arm in arm with people that are in the same stage of life as us, in the same place, heading the same way, and they're rubbing off on us, right? Just like we talked a few weeks ago. Who you hang around with rubs off on you. We begin to hear God's voice more clear because we're more used to hearing it and seeing it and reading it. So it's a lot easier to remember what that voice sounds like. It's a lot easier to remember and see who's talking to us, right? There's a funeral and a wedding. So just imagine for a moment, as a Bridge young adult group, just imagine how much impact we could make on Fort Worth if we truly believe this. If we truly served from a place of, man, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm not bound to that old stuff. I'm not bound to the effects of sin. I'm not bound to condemnation. I don't have to listen to that anymore because I'm married to Jesus. Imagine what we would have to do if every single one of us grabbed hold of that and didn't let go. Right? We would have to fill up more chairs in this place. We would have to move into a different building. We would have to hire more staff and have more volunteers because this place would be filled with people drawn to the love of God. And I don't know about you, but that's my heart's desire. That's my heart's desire. Whenever I go to bed at night, that's what I'm thinking of. People running to the love of God. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing on my mind is, man, how do we do this in a way that will raise Jesus up and draw people to Him? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but we're getting close to the end, right? Wars and rumors of wars happening all around, right? Calamity happening all around. Hurricanes and earthquakes and tsunamis and all that kind of stuff, right? 35 miles away in, was it Terrell or Mesquite? Where was it? Garland, Texas. We got people taking guns and going to kill people, right? Terrorists. That's happening. We're getting closer, folks. We're getting closer. And guess what? God loves those two terrorists just as much as every single one of us. I hate to shake you up. Some of you I can tell are going, man, I don't see how that's possible. They're trying to kill people. Have you ever heard of a guy named Saul in the Bible? Or maybe you've heard of him after he got his name changed, whenever it became Paul, and wrote 75% of the New Testament, right? Everybody with me? So there are people out there that you are called to impact. But if you're walking around with your head down, condemned, thinking that you're naked and you can't do anything for God and how could He ever use you? You're going to be walking past people all day long that need the love that's inside of you to come out and to spill over onto them. And who knows? For some of you, it might just be a terrorist. It might just be a Muslim. It might just be a lesbian. It might just be an addict. It might just be an alcoholic. It might just be somebody that was hurt and abused when they were young and just needs somebody to put their arms around them and say, it wasn't right. But Jesus can make it all better. Every single one of us have people that only you see. In a room this large, there are thousands of people that every single one of you see on a daily, a weekly, a monthly basis that I will never see, that anybody on this platform will never see. They will never meet them. They will never see them. They will never be close enough to them to hear their voice. But that's where you come in. That's where you come in. As a pastor, it's not my job description, both in the natural from EMIC, from the Bridge, it's not my job description to grow this ministry. And from God, as a pastor, as somebody in the fivefold ministry, He's not expecting me to grow the ministry either. The Bible never says pastors grow your flock. No, pastors don't make sheep. Shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Sheep produce more sheep. What does the shepherd do? He corrals them. He keeps them going in the right direction. He keeps them safe, right? He gets them pointing in the right direction so that they can multiply safely and effectively, right? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to equip you. I'm here to point you to Jesus so that you can point people to Him too. That's what I'm here for. That's what every single person on this platform, that's what every single person that volunteers here is all about. That's all we're here for. It's not so that we can stand up on stage and play a piano. I could play a piano in my living room and with nobody around. Who cares? But they're using their talents and giftings to lift Jesus up. Amen? Amen. I want everybody to stand with me tonight. You know, as I was thinking about how to close tonight and praying about it, the Lord was really talking to me about needs, and about how the Bible says to approach the throne of grace and mercy in your time of need. You know, the amazing thing about God is that His grace never ends. His love never ends. It doesn't matter how big the thing might seem. Doesn't matter how last minute it might seem, or you might even be past the deadline. God can still show up. He can still work it out. He can still turn it around. So this is what I want to do. I want to spend just a couple minutes in worship tonight, and we're ending a little bit early tonight because I want to be able to spend some time in worship. And all worship does, all worship is, here's what's amazing. It's about you ministering to God. Do you realize that that's all it's about? It's about you ministering to God. Because everything in the kingdom is counterintuitive, right? The greatest shall become the least. If you want to be the greatest, you got to serve the most, right? Everything in the kingdom is counterintuitive. And so whenever we say that we're going to worship God and we're going to, you know, sing to Him, you know, sometimes we think it's about us getting filled up. But guess what? That's just an outflow of us ministering to God. We get ourselves out of the way. We get our issues out of the way. We get our problems out of the way. And we just focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one that loved us first. Because how many of you know His love is the only thing that will ever change our lives? Self-help books won't do it. 12-step programs won't do it. It's only His love. And just like Pastor Dara said earlier tonight, that's what the Bridge will be known for. Regardless how many hundreds or thousands of people that come in and out of these doors and give their heart to the Lord and, you know, sign a card saying that they want to get baptized, regardless of any of those things, we'll be known for the love of God spilling out of these doors and going out into the communities around us. And guess what? As I look around and I see the places that each of you are from, man, that love is spilling out a long way. It's spilling out a long way throughout Fort Worth, throughout North Texas, some of you even Oklahoma and other states. So this is what I want to do. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song. And I want to invite you up to the altar tonight. We don't always do this, but I really feel led in my spirit that as a community, we need to worship the Lord together. And I believe that in the midst of us doing that, that God is going to impart some things. He's going to drop some things. He's going to wash some areas. He's going to bring you face to face with Jesus. And that's what we all need. Amen? So can we sing? But I know that there's many of you in this place tonight that came in needing something from God. And so I'm going to let Brother Dan give you a word, and then we're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe God that He's going to change it.
You know, this is... I was an associate pastor for 5 years, and by the end of the fifth year, I was so beat up, I didn't even know if I was saved. I'd felt under it. Anybody ever been there? You know, just performing, trying my hardest. How many of you have tried your hardest? How many of you know that doesn't work? You know, the Bible never says, try your hardest. Doesn't say once. It says trust. Trust centers on Christ. Trying centers on, well, you know, who you used to be. Now listen to this out of the Message Bible. I thought it was pretty outstanding. So the Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his son Jesus. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. You are set right once and for all. Quit resurrecting the old, man. It's once and for all. This is radical. Christianity is revolutionary. You hear me? Let's start a revolution of love. How about that? How about let's get over ourselves and land squarely on Jesus? And Paul put it this way: stop, think soberly. In other words, stop being drunk on who you used to be. Your good self or your bad self. The gospel message is get over yourself.
Yeah.
Land on Him. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus personally took on the human condition, entered this disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law has always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now that the law asked for, now what the law code asked for, but what we could never deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end, or do it on their own, end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. But those who trust God's action in them will find that God's Spirit, living and breathing in them, will do it all. Glory to God. Amen. How many of you are for that? I'm telling you, the days of you trying your hardest and performing to be approved, can we get rid of that? Let's get off the performance treadmill. Amen. Yeah, but don't I have to do something? Yeah. You fall in love with Jesus and watch what you do. You'll do more by accident, gracefully, than you could ever do struggling and striving. Amen? This is, by the way, the gospel is the good, everybody say the good news. It's actually so good it takes the Spirit of God to minister to you, to actually, for it to register on your heart. So lift up your hand and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For delivering me.
For delivering
me. From who I used to be.
From who I used to.
And now I receive you.
Now I receive you.
And because I receive you.
And because I receive
you. I have the power.
I have the power.
I have the ability.
I have the ability.
To do all you've called me to do.
To do all you've called me to do.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
For what I've made this.
For what I've made this.
Because when it's all said and done.
Because when it's all said and done.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Lord.
It's all about you, Lord.
So I receive you, God.
I receive you, God.
Live big in me, God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I say every time you pick up the Word of God, the love of God's going to leap off the pages and His arms are going to embrace you. And I say from this point on, there's a fire in your belly and you'll never again hear condemnation. You will hear who you are. You will hear what you are. And in Jesus' name, you'll start declaring what you have, your inheritance. Now, those of you that need a financial blessing, put your hands up in the air. Say, Lord, I take that now. I take that now. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I take my inheritance now in Jesus' name. Sovre sta do cre. That condemning spirit right now, I come against it.
Yeah.
That spirit of depression. Delebo koramasa. That spirit that would put you under it. That spirit that would try to say to you, you're not enough. You haven't done enough. I say that voice shuts up now in the name of Jesus.
God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. See, that's the yoke-destroying, burden-removing Spirit of God lifting burdens right now. The Lamb has won, and if He's won, we have. Amen. Say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, you enter in by saying, thank you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name.